everyone. Well, let us pray. Dear God, we just thank you for this morning where we can all gather here together. Help us to let you guide us into building a temple for you each and every day in our lives, and help us to use what we learn here today and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, I was thinking about my first time that I spoke up in front of a church, which was back when I was, probably 14. One Sunday after everything was finished and we were just fellowshipping, Neil came up to me. Neil was my old pastor in Green Mountain Bible Church in northern Vermont. He came up to me and said, "Okay, hey, would you like to read scripture for next week?" And I was like, I really want to say no, but I should say yes, and it would be good for me. So I said, "Okay," kind of nervously, and he said, "Okay, we'll meet on Thursday and go over the verses and kind of look into them and study them, and then you can read them up front before the message." Back then, there would be like a main passage of scripture where someone would get up and read it before whoever was speaking would speak on it. And that was a blessing. Neil liked the congregation to be a part of the service. Not many pastors liked doing that. It made too much room for error. But so we met on Thursday and we went over the verses, and I remember him saying, "All right, highlight all the commas because you're reading way too fast. You need to look, do this and do that." And I remember it was in Psalms, and I had to leave a pause here for where God was speaking, and then leave another pause for where David was speaking. And so we did that for like an hour, studied the scripture that I was reading and what it pertained to. And then he was like, "All right, you're ready." And I'm like, "I don't know about that, but okay, whatever you say." And so Sunday came, and I was just like, whew, whew. I think I was singing like really loud before all of that. And so back then, there wasn't a podium like this. This podium is amazing. It covers like, you know, twice as much as me. But the podium was just like, you know, one of those music stands, kind of like, but it made out of wood. So it was just one of those slender sticks holding up a thing to hold the Bible. And so I got up there to read, and, you know, I had my Bible, and I was just deathly afraid, and my legs started shaking, and I switched to the other side when that leg was shaking, and then that side would start to shake, and you would see me do this, or I felt like that's what was going on. And I came off the stage and asked Neil how it was, and he was like, "Oh, it was great." And I'm like, "You're lying, you know, you're not supposed to lie, right?" But you know, he guided me through that, and he had me keep doing it until I got more comfortable. I stuttered through all sorts of scriptures in front of everybody, but you know, it was only 20 people who I knew, so it was a good introduction to public speaking. It wasn't really speaking; it was just public reading. But the scripture says, "Devote yourself to public reading of the word," or something like that. So he took that seriously, and I was glad he did. And in the same way that Neil guided me through tough situations, well, into tough situations, he let the tough situations teach me. The Holy Spirit guides us sometimes into tough situations that we don't actually want to deal with. And I thought of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. So Luke chapter 4, just the beginning there. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Side note, I thought it was always funny that they included that. Like, yeah, he was hungry. But anyways, so the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. It doesn't say that that the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted, but it seemed like that was the only thing that was there besides desert and starvation. So I think that we can conclude that the Spirit led him there to have this spiritual battle with Satan for good. We might not know what the good was. We have the story for us, so we can be encouraged from that. But maybe there was something else that was good. And I also thought of Paul going back to Jerusalem and the story of how. Well, let's just go there. Acts 20, 22. And this was when he was passing through Ephesus. He was speaking to the elders of the church of Ephesus. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So he was going to Jerusalem bound in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was warning him all the way back, like, you're going to be put in chains. I personally wouldn't like that warning. I would just like to just not even know about it and just be like, I don't know why I'm going, but the Holy Spirit has me bound to go there. And we know that from that happening, when he went back to Jerusalem, the Jews sought to kill him, and he got arrested by the Romans and ended up going back to Rome. But during that imprisonment, he wrote a majority of probably all his epistles. And so we see the good there. He probably would have not spent the time to write some of those letters if he wasn't in prison, and we wouldn't have some of these books today. So that reminded me of James 1, verse 2. Let me go there so I don't misquote it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And the KJV says temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into, well, I don't know the whole verse in the KJV. I failed to write it down. But instead of trials, it says temptations, diverse temptations. And so we're supposed to count it all joy when we fall into these temptations or trials. Not that we should seek these things, but when we fall into them, we're supposed to count it joy because it works sanctification within us, and the Holy Spirit can teach us things through them. And Romans 8:28 says that we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I frequently look at troubles in my life, like, how do I explain it? Like, life happens. you know, don't really count it to attribute it to the Spirit's leading or guiding. I just kind of, I'm like, well, that's a pain in the butt. Well, what do I do? But sometimes things happen and we don't know. Sometimes we can see the good, and sometimes we just have to wait. And I mean, Paul didn't know what good being in prison would do. He didn't know that, you know, those letters would be saved and passed on and we would get to have them today. But he trusted God. And so I know I need to trust God more in those difficult times and, you know, just say, well, this is inconvenient, but I wonder what God's going to work in it. I wonder what wonderful thing can happen through all of this. So there's one more verse I want to take us to. Well, multiple verses in one place. Oh no, it's one verse. John 16:13. This was after the Last Supper. Maybe they were still having it. But before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So he will guide you into all truth. I usually think of the Holy Spirit coming upon somebody and just kind of magically making them know all truth or something like that. But it says that he will guide you into all truth. This is to the disciples, but I think that the Holy Spirit is still doing that in us today as well. So I think that he can use those hard things to guide us into truth as well as good things to guide us into truth. But it's actually, I think of it as harder to guide someone into truth through good things. You know, it's easier to teach a kid not to do something or to do something when something bad happens, something that they'll remember rather than something good. I don't know why. At least that's how I was. Maybe it's not the same for everybody. That's what I wanted to share. But I asked, I thought maybe if we have some extra time, some people can share some testimonies of times when something went awry and turned out for the better that they could see. And I asked Henry to tell a story that I remember him telling me, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. So I'll hand it over to Henry, and thank you for your attentiveness, and I hope the Lord can bless you through this.
The story that you had to pick. And so he started talking about how the problems were what helped you, what caused you to help you grow. And so, in typical autocorning fashion, he's like, why don't you start praying for some problems? And I've always been known to speak a little sooner than I think. And so that's what I did. And I was driving along, and I really wanted to grow. And so I asked the Lord for some problems. And wouldn't you know, within just a few minutes, like 5 or 10 minutes, there's this noise on my vehicle, and I didn't really worry about it, because back then, the vehicles that I drove, like, I just thought it was, like, the bumper falling off or something, which was kind of minor. And, like, that's really no big deal. I thought something was, like, going on, rubbing on the tire. So I just kept driving. And eventually, it became clear that that was not what was happening. And I pulled into a gas station, and the vehicle was dead. It stopped. Didn't start again. And I called Adam Bindar. It was near his house. And I asked him if he could
come help me, maybe tow my vehicle or give me a ride. And he got there, and I told him, Adam, I'm so excited. I don't know what God's going to teach me, but I'm just really excited. I told him just what I told you, what had just happened. And he's like, I think God's trying to teach you to put oil in your vehicle. but this was just a less than a week, I think, before I was supposed to go down to Pennsylvania for a conference, and I'd really been thinking about how I felt like I was supposed to step out in faith and hitchhike there, and so I definitely took that as a sign that that's what I was supposed to do, and so I didn't buy a new vehicle immediately, and instead I hitchhiked, and I got to grow quite a bit through those experiences, the experiences of, you know, being on the side of the road, you know, helpless and waiting. And I think Otto Koning was right. You know, yeah, if you want to learn to grow, you sometimes have to experience some problems. So that's the brief version of that story.
Well, this isn't something great and spiritual, but I was just telling Emily last night, yesterday afternoon, I went over to the Mears' to finish up the roof project I had there. And I had thought that I would take Emily with me. It would be a short project, and she'd probably enjoy playing with the children there. But by the time I got left, it was Emily's nap time, so decided to leave her behind. And so I was feeling a little bit bad on the way. It's like, oh, this isn't working out the way I planned. But when I pulled in there, there wasn't anybody around, and so I was able to finish up the project and realize, you know, it would have been a real disappointment for Emily if she had got her hopes up and got there and not had anybody to play with. So when I got home, I was able to tell her about how God made it work out that she didn't come along when there wasn't anybody to play with. So,
I remember one time, and I've probably shared this before, but it's been a while, when I was following someone in Michigan. We were heading somewhere, and they stopped and got out and came back to check why I wasn't keeping up with them. Is there something wrong with your vehicle? And, well, I was used to and had been trained to keep the speed limit, so I was going to try to compromise a little bit, but I didn't feel very comfortable about it. Wouldn't you know, the car died. And I was thankful. It was like, okay, I can't speed now. I guess I'm all set. And so $500 later and a couple tows later, we were back on the road, and it was all good. That sometimes God just knows what it is that he needs to send our way to teach us that he is watching, he is in control. I'm not judging whether somebody's going a little over or under or not. I'm just saying, at that time, that's where I was in that, and God worked it all out.
Thank you, everyone, for giving some testimonies. I hope this blessed everyone. Thank you.